Come on, we've tried this before. For thousands of years, ever since Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, left in the first century, we have had people come up and try and start things. Things for themselves. Things that they would call ways of worship, but were really simply ways of men. Things that were so far departed and strange, off from what the Messiah intended and what he called his followers to do, that really, if he were to come back and look upon many of those things, even though many of those followers are indeed saved, at the same time, they have totally missed what he was all about. See, Jesus didn't come to just start a new denomination, a new clique, a new group of people who could look at others and say, well, we are so much better than they are, aren't we, Jesus? We're going to be best in the kingdom of God, aren't we going to be Jesus? See, these were some of the murmurings of the disciples who were with him, and those are the same murmurings that are echoing and have been echoing for thousands of years and are even now echoing in my very ear, echoing in your very ear of who's going to be the best. See, dear brothers and sisters, I see a people rising, a people of God rising who are inclining the ears towards him, who are not going to take anything less than the absolute worship of spirit and truth to walk like Yeshua did, to walk in the fullness of his walk, not just after some church label, denominational movement, whatever you call it, but putting all of that aside to be with him and to look like him more and more and more until that happens, we are not satisfied. See, many of us have been so satisfied. Some of you are so satisfied where you are at, with the people you're at, and where you all are spiritually, and I'm not satisfied. Earlier today I was praying and I was asking, Lord, if my life comes and goes, my life is like a vapor, it's coming and it's going, and when that happens, if you come and take me one day, what is there going to be? Have I actually accomplished anything in this world? Is there anything of worth and of value that's actually going to come out of my life? Because what I'm going to be satisfied in is seeing a generation rise, is seeing a people of God rise up. I don't want to just be going through this like all the 2,000 years of people just going through life, just another person seeing it all go. No, I want to see a generation rise. I want to see a people rise who are going to say, I want the truth of who Yeshua is. I want to obey my Father, and by obeying the commandments the best I can, I want to turn and repent from my sin. I want to lay my life down for the orphan and the widow and those who are poor in spirit and contrite in heart. I want to be the one who goes to the person who's stuck in their darkness on the streets, who no one else wants to go to. I want a people like that rising up, and I want a people rising up who believes in the God they say they believe in, not just verbally, but believing it for who he is by actually stepping forth in faith to believe what they say. See, we've got so much religion out there of people saying a lot of stuff that they say they believe about God, but when the rubber meets the road, none of those things are evident in our lives anymore. See, what I'm talking about here is that what made the Messiah, what made Yeshua different, what made Jesus different from all the other rabbis, is that he didn't just give a good sermon. He didn't just stand up and speak eloquently. He didn't just have a lot of good knowledge, which these are all good things. But no, it was the fact that he had faith. Such faith that when he did things, believed for things, it happened. And many say, well, it's because he was God in the flesh, or because he was the Messiah, or because he was... But then he turns to his disciples and says, you will do the things that I have done and greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Do you believe what he just said there? See, many people, they try and get around that and make excuses for what the Messiah says. They try and just like, why do we not take him for what he says for what he says? Why don't we believe what he says for what it is? And perhaps if we did, we would see even barely just the things that he saw. Perhaps then we would also see that when he said to his disciples, believe that this mountain will be moved, and it will move if you go with your mustard seed of faith, and it will be done unto you. Like, do you actually believe that the mountains in your life can be moved? Some of you are sitting here listening to me. You have mountains in your life. Mountains that you're maybe even in your church, that your church is facing right now. Mountains that your country is facing right now. Mountains that your children are facing right now. Mountains everywhere. And you are distraught. You're hopeless. You don't know where to turn. You feel like, God, are you even there? God, are you hearing me? Are you seeing this? God, are you just going to let this? God, you're seeing this? Are you just going to let this happen? Lord, are you just going to let this pass by? Are you just going to let Satan have his way with your people or with my children or with my church or with my pastor or with my whoever it is you are concerned about? But see, he said, I have called you. I have called you. I have put my spirit within you. Yes, we call on him in prayer. Hallelujah, we should. But he's called you. He's put his spirit in you. Yes, we call on his name in prayer. Hallelujah. But do you hear me? He's put his spirit in you. Yes, we call on his name. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? But he's put his spirit in you. That means that you need to rise up and do something with what he has given you. With that mustard seed of faith that he has planted. You see, when a gardener comes and gardens, he plants but a seed, and he believes that that seed will grow into a beautiful plant that's going to yield much fruit. And so the gardener has come, and he has planted a mustard seed, which is your faith. And the question is, you know, he believes in you. He believes that you are a plant who is going to grow up and bear good fruit because he knows what he has planted. But do you know who you are? Do you know who your gardener is? Do you know that he is trustworthy to water you? Do you know that he is full of mercy and grace even when you grow a little slower than expected? Do you understand, though, that he has planted you for a reason where you are in order for you to grow up and bear much fruit, to become a tree of spirit and truth, one that is bearing the truth, that bears the absolute holiness of God, but yet one who does not make excuses for the Holy Spirit, come on, who does not quench the Holy Spirit, but relies on him because he knows that he's planted by the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit is not the one who shows up and in and through you, then nothing else matters. The truth is dead without the Spirit. Do you hear me? The truth is dead without the Spirit. The truth can do nothing. It is just there. It is just knowledge. It is just, but without the Spirit who empowers us to keep it, who empowers the truth to produce fruit in our lives, without the waters of the Spirit, your tree is dead. And so many of us have been planted by the gardener, but all we can do is look on how to escape this place instead of growing up here to mature and bear good fruit so that the world can taste and see that he is good. See, brothers and sisters, and so you in the land where you are planted right now are to become the place where the presence of God dwells, the temple, where all who see experiences him. Because it's only him who could change you the way that you are being changed. And so I want to ask you, yes, cry on his name, but don't just leave it at his feet. Now when he comes and gives you something that he has died for you to have, do something with it. That means that you are to become the generation I'm calling forth. You are to become the people of God who he is calling forth. I'm not anyone but a messenger who is telling you that the Messiah has come and given you all he's given you in order for you to do something with it, for you to become it. See, there is a generation rising, and it may be the generation that falls and dies in the wilderness, but I'm here and I'm calling you forth, and I'm asking you for you to believe, and I'm asking for you to stand up and rise up, and I'm asking for you to become a generation that doesn't just fall and die in the wilderness because of all the complaining, because of all the murmuring, because of all of the issues and all of the giants in the land, and saying that, well, there's so many bad reports and so much bad news on the news. And therefore, I don't know if I can go and follow into that place where there are giants in that promised land that God says is a promised land, but all I can see is a deserted land. See, brothers and sisters, even though you cannot see it right now. What I see is a promised land. What I see is a land of flowing with milk and honey. And you know what the promised land is? Come on. It is the land where the temple of God is planted, where he said it is not here or there. Come on. It is not a land of here or there where the temple of God is going to be planted, but it is going to be his people who become the land where the temple is. His people become the place of the presence, the land where all go to in order to experience the presence because the Spirit of God is within them. And I'm not discounting Jerusalem here. I'm not discounting God's promised land here, but I'm talking about something even different that Yeshua was talking about, where it's not going to be this or that land, this or that place where the presence of God is, but it is going to be temples of spirit and truth. You, in the land that you are in, you have been called to take it for the Lord. You have been called to bring forth that spirit that he has put in you and to bring forth the presence. And the only way that you can do that, brothers and sisters, is in order for people to experience him, is for them to come in contact with you, is for you to actually go in the midst of them and open your mouth and speak and do and believe for them. In other words, it's for you to discover how does the Spirit of God want to use me and how can I step out to be used. So in order for us to be used, we should stop quenching him. We should stop being so scared of the counterfeit that we miss the real. Stop being so hurt by the abuse that we miss the one who is most pure at heart, who is calling us to the most pure thing, and that is to be his witness. Some of us have been so hurt that we have walked away from the witness that he's called us to be. But in order for you to stand before him one day and for me to stand before him one day and truly feel satisfied, will it not mean that we didn't just study and know and became for the sake of becoming, but that we actually became for the sake of becoming change in this world, becoming a vessel that shifts the atmosphere of this world that we are in right now? Because this world is passing, your life is passing, you are passing away as you watch this video. And yet the question is going to be, what will you do with what he's given you? Rise up and become the generation.